cheering for Tampa to win tonight, so it delays it a week, or is he cheering for the Islanders so he can just walk the plank tomorrow? Which one is it, Shogger?
I don't know. I know. Part of me just wants to get her done, Strutty. Like, let's just do it. But now I'm sitting here at Stantec Tower across from the rink, waiting to do a live hit here, and I'm looking at this guy crawling around on scaffolding at this business, at this building being built, and it's just, it looks so high, and I'm just thinking, how can he do that? And I see all the safety harnesses and his safety straps, but I'm still thinking that would be absolutely petrifying, and then the reality crashes in of what we have to do tomorrow. And I asked my stepson, Carter, because he's been there before, I said, you know, have you walked the plank? And he goes, oh, that one's tough.
Oh, that's not what I want to hear. Jeez, Carter, I liked you after that.
That's what he said. He's like, the rest of it's really fun, but oh, that one's tough. And then he said, and we need clarification on this, Struts. He said, you have to go through a bunch of really crazy obstacles to even get to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did it. That's what I did.
What?
Yeah, Struts did the obstacles. The obstacles aren't hard.
Yeah, I got to the obstacle all through it. Then you're on an island. You have to go back through the obstacles, and people have to actually unclip to let you by. On my walk of shame. Back.
Yeah, but there'll be no one there. It's just
going
to be
down.
It's just going to be you two, right?
Yeah, and Parker,
And myself.
You get the whole place to ourselves.
Yeah,
that's not better.
Be 4 hours. Well, at least there's no one laughing at us. Just
no.
You need
the fear of embarrassing yourself in front of groups of people.
Well, Parker has a video camera, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't know that we're videoing this? I think it might be streaming live on TSN 1260.ca. So,
that's not happening.
But, you know, it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. That's the thing. It's going to be a beautiful day. I actually think they're going to go take the against the game 7. So we get it done tomorrow, Shogger. If you think that's the, or if you don't think the case, like, what does the Islanders have to do, or what do they have to do to take this to a game 7 so we can avoid doing it next week?
What do they have to do? Well, preferably for them, Braden Point doesn't put on skates and play tonight. That would be the first thing, if they were to be able to do that for us. Secondly, I think that they're scrappy. I don't know. They seem to find a way. And, you know, they were talking today about being comfortable in uncomfortable situations. So with Philadelphia roaring back on them, how they were able to stay calm through that. But I just think if they can, you know, go out and make the other guys a little nervous, like grab that first goal and you get the other guys a little bit nervous and here we go again. And little things like that, you're not always going to win those, but if you can, that's another big one. And then their tendies going to have to throw a real good game out there.
But I look at Tampa Bay, and you know I wonder, because looking up the stats in 2018, they were up 3-2 in the Eastern Conference Final against the Washington Capitals. Boom, they lost. Right? In 2016, they were up 3-2 on the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Eastern Conference Final. Lost. Right? Like, you got a lot of their key guys in here. Like, I think, you know, and then, of course, last year they got swept. Like, I just think Tampa Bay is, they lost in overtime. They controlled much of that game. I just feel like this is a team that's not going to waste this opportunity. Like, you can look and argue, man, you're up 3-2 in the Eastern Conference Final twice, and then you're the best team in the league, you get swept. Like, those are some missed opportunities that, you know, I would like to believe they've learned from.
The other thing I noticed, too, about them is that they, at least those ones you're talking about, they don't shy away from talking about. They've been asked questions about that, learning experiences and lessons learned and things like that, and they actually entertain those questions, and they will answer those questions. And they don't have, a lot of times teams, and I'm thinking of like a John Tortorella-led team, that would just, you know, they just don't want to talk about it. Like, don't bring that up, you know, that's last year, that's in the past. Like, it's like they don't want their players to even go there. Whereas, I don't know, they don't seem to be shying away from their history being their history, and they don't seem shy about bringing it up or discussing it, almost as though they're not getting it. You can't make it go away, and you can't pretend it didn't happen, and so why try? And I don't mind that approach, as opposed to just sticking your fingers in your ears and going la 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 anytime someone wants to talk about mistakes and failures of the past.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, talking all things NHL. Shaw Garcia, in that situation, I think that you have to talk about it. I think they, as a group, probably talked about it. You know, after that you know, just a really tough four-game stretch, and then you go home and have exit interviews, but then even to start the next year, like this year, you're like, guys, let's talk about what happened there. Like, it was awful. We didn't compete. We didn't do this. We were maybe missing a few pieces. You know, what do we have to do this year to change it up? So I think by talking about it, personally, in a small group, it actually, you know, just, it kind of exercises those demons instead of hiding around and not showing the light of day on it.
Yeah, you can't pretend it didn't happen. The media is going to want to ask you questions about it, so you can either be combative with the media and make it look like they're being jerks for asking, or you can just accept that it's part of your history, it's part of your journey. And I don't think you need to fixate on it. I don't think as a group you need to spend a ton of time on it, but if you don't learn from these mistakes and have those lessons be present as you're applying the lessons, I think you're kind of fooling yourself a little bit, so you got to own it. This year's team is, you know, there's a lot of guys that were there for that. They've returned a lot of guys, a lot of their core guys. And, you know, they've got some new blood in there as well. And it's got to feel different. There's enough fresh blood in there that it's got to feel different.
Shocker, there's lots of rumblings right now. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Darcy Kuemper. How realistic do you think Edmonton is as a landing spot for either one?
Well, I think Kemper's going to cost you a first-round pick, so I don't think the Oilers are going to do that, so I would say likely not. And I think that Ekman-Larsson's number is pretty significant for quite a while, and I think that that would probably have them shy away as well from doing something like that. So while both would look good as Oilers when the puck drops, it's the assets you got to give up, and it's the salary that they would have to pay that I think might make it prohibitive. I think we're going to see an offseason where the Oilers, I don't know there's going to be a lot of big game hunting, guys. I think it's going to be trying to find value forwards who can contribute in a middle six role that could maybe play up a little bit, guys like Ennis. I think it's going to be maybe looking around to see if they can make a notable adjustment on the blue line, finding some goaltending help, but I just feel like this is not the off season where there's going to be some big game hunting done. Now, with that said, if there's good players available in hockey trades, you know, money for money, and if they can figure out a way to improve themselves, I think they'll be aggressive and try and do it. But I just don't think we're going to be seeing big game hunting from Ken Holland. Do you guys?
I think he might want to make. I think he'd like to make a significant hockey move. Yes, I think he wants to upgrade and change his defense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean it makes sense. We've talked about that lots, and why you would want to do that. But in terms of, so what is it? So you're talking about a trade then, Greg? So you're talking about,
yeah.
Like I think as we've discussed before, Chris Russell and Adam Larsson are prime targets for some turnover on the blue line that you can actually do, right? So if you can find a way to move Russell, you can find a way to move Larsson and replace him with a defenseman of a different ilk, then yeah, that's a pretty meaningful change. You know, whether that's Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I'm not so sure about that.
Shogar, when you look at the situation at Puljujärvi, don't you feel like the organization knows if he's coming back or not?
No. I think they own his rights and they hold the cards. I think that they're going to wait until they see what trade offers end up looking like closer to the draft and what trade offers look like in and around the draft and see if they can recover some picks. I don't think they're in a massive rush on this. And I still think it's just as likely that he gets traded as it is that he comes back. I could see it going either way, almost 50-50 at this point. I don't think it's determined. I don't think they know for sure either yet, to be honest with you. I think they, if the offers get to where they feel they need to be, I could see them being willing to move the player. But, I mean, let's wait and see, because there's also a need to have players that can come in with some skill and some speed and to compete for top six jobs. And that's what their hope would be that Puljujärvi could do. But after all this time away and the likelihood that he can step in and do that, I don't know what that looks like.
Shogar, we got a text from Lee a while ago that I just want you to listen to, you and Struds, and really embrace this.
Oh, boy.
Struds, think of all you've accomplished in life, all the challenges you faced and fought through to get to where you are today. You can do anything you set your mind to. Change the color of the frame on the picture you have in your head about this upcoming challenge. If you remove the dark, ominous frame and replace it with a nice, bright yellow frame, the picture looks different. Focus on how much money you've helped raise and look forward to this. There's nothing to fear. Congrats on facing this head on. The kids thank you. Good luck, Lee.
That is far too well said for how I'm feeling right now.
But I think I'll feel that.
Yeah, those are kind words.
When we're done. When we're done, yeah. It feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think, Strud, there's two wonderful things that have come out of this. First and foremost, by a mile, is the money that's raised for the kids. That's sure. Not even close. So there's that. But I also have a funny feeling, Struds, that you and I, you know, we've been pals, like we've been buds.
Sure.
But I think that a real different type of friendship might spring up out of this. And I'm really looking forward to that more than anything.
Yeah, like you're going to let me come use your hot tub tomorrow night?
If you want to. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's nice to hear. I might just take you up on that.
Let's make plans. Let's do something. Let's get our family together. Let's sure. go camping. Yeah. Let's camp.
Yeah. Are you a camper?
Yeah, I am.
You really are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. This kind of guy likes to get dirty.
I know. I'm totally surprised, too.
I thought
you're like a glamper.
Yeah.
No. We roll in a tent trailer. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Nice.
But, Strud, these are all the things you'll be able to learn about your new best friend after our near-death experience tomorrow morning.
It's good. I'm scared, yeah. But I think they're going to – I don't think we'll have to do it tomorrow.
So, yeah, like if Tampa wins, then we're delaying it until next Friday. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know. Like, we don't know. So if the series ends tonight, then
yes.
I think the NHL is going to try and do some sort of a media day tomorrow. But I'd like to still keep it potentially on the books. Let's see let's see what tomorrow looks like. But I would like to call.
Hey, I would squeeze it in as well. That's smart.
Yeah, I'd just like to get it done and out of the way so that we can stop talking about it and I can stop sweating through my dress shirts.
I'm with you. Let's do this.